In this episode, we're giving away Rampart Eternal Cathedral, a terrain project that one of you lucky guys is going to win. Remember, help us out, guys. If you can share this video, make sure and subscribe. We're getting very close to that 100,000 mark, which would be good because then we can start to talk to YouTube and they might have to actually listen to us. Also, remember to please hit that like button and, yeah, ding our dong. Right. Let's get stuck in. Weekend starts now. Hi guys, and welcome to the Weekender. So as well as that giveaway, we also are giving away a free 3D model for all of you guys with 3D printers to print at home. We're keeping what it is a surprise because, yeah, we're not a lot of us are getting surprises at the moment, so we thought we'd give you a surprise. But stay tuned later in the show because we're also going to point you at a cool spaceship that you can download and print for free as well. Right. One quick update before we get stuck in, guys. We have two posts up now, one for Salute and one for Adepticon, which each lists all of the traders that were going to be at that show. So if you guys want to have a browse around, you might see something new that you've never seen before, or you may find some old favorites and people that you want to try and, you know, order a couple of things off and see if you can throw them your support. It's all part of a lot of us, all the small guys in this industry are, well, I don't know what guarantee there is that a lot of us are going to pop out the other end of this. We just don't know how long it's going to last. The longer it goes on, the harder it becomes for all of us. So if you want to show those guys some support, those two posts are there. Go and have a flick through, click through to the websites. And, you know, heck, even if you just drop them a little message just to say, hey, guys, how are you doing? You know, we're thinking of you. I'm sure they would appreciate it. I know I do when I get a wee message like that. Right.
Just a quick thing on that as well. As well as there being some exhibitors and stuff that do traditional sort of wargaming-y stuff like miniatures and terrain and that kind of thing, there's also a few companies and stuff on there for both lists. They are slightly a bit more esoteric, so they've got things like accessories and all kinds of things in the mix as well. So it's not just traditional wargaming things in there too, but go and check it out and just have a look through. Like, one of the things a lot of people have said is just going in, opening up like 10 links at a time and just browsing through web stores and stuff to see what's there and things. So
yeah.
It's a nice little collection of them. So yes, there are.
Oh, yeah. There's loads of them. Like it really is a comprehensive list of everything that's going on in there. So definitely very cool.
And a lot of these smaller guys, they actually do work from home. It's a cottage industry, so their production is possibly just like out in their garage. So chances are they might still be able to keep production up and keep stuff rolling out to you.
The interesting thing, Justin, is the entire planet is working from home now, buddy. Except for you.
It's like, this is the good and bad thing about living so close to the office. I can always get in. The bad news is, I can always get in.
Yeah.
Right. I honestly don't mind, because it's been really good having the continued routine of getting up and coming into the office to do stuff.
Yeah, I have found that difficult. As I was saying to the guys, you know, I spent a couple of days just in my jammies, and I was thinking, like, I never spend time in jammies. Heck,
I'm surprised you.
I don't wear jammies. I don't wear jammies. I don't know why I've started wearing jammies, because I don't wear jammies. But just the whole thing at home, Andrea threw me a pair of jammies that I had, and I thought, okay,
I'll put them on. I think I understand why now. She didn't want you just walking around in your underpants.
Hey, dude.
It's important to get dressed, because we don't want to get caught out on camera in our pants.
Mm-hmm. We've been like that recently, haven't we?
Let's just say, I'll not be standing up.
No, Lloyd did.
Right. Look, we've got to kick off the show with the most important thing of all. It is, of course, Indie of the Week. Who picked it this week, guys? Okay, Jerry.
So this is a really small little company doing really small little things. Crom's Anvil. So if anybody has seen Conan the Barbarian, they'll know who Crom is. And this game, the Burning Sands game, essentially allows you to recreate that style of film, or if you've read the novels, on the tabletop, but in 15 mil.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's an awful lot of stuff on that site. The game itself is very, very easy. It's sort of midway between like a skirmish game and an RPG. The idea behind it is you get your miniatures and then you play games, and games can be 10, 15 minutes long, because it might be something very simple, like you've camped out for the night and a witch is attacked, you know, like Conan did. So you don't have to, a lot of setup, that sort of thing. But what the encouraging thing about Burning Sands is that you develop your own little chapters. So instead of, if you want to play a game for an hour, you go, okay, I can have a big grand scale game, or I can just have a little short chapter of maybe this happens, and then after overcoming the witch, then you know, you wind up being chased out in the desert by a pack of rabid dogs. You don't have your kit on you now, maybe, so you play a little game for that, and you build your stories up. You can scale it up to 28 mil if you want, but I really like the 15 mil stuff he's done, because he has all of the buildings. So you've got tribal huts, you've got desert sort of biblical looking adobe buildings, and in 15 mil scale, where everybody's based individually on a 3x3 table, or on a dining room table or coffee table, you can actually have these quite elaborate sets, essentially. So when Conan and friends are escaping from the tower with the jewel that they've just wrested from the high priestess's dead hand, you can actually have that whole escape down through the streets of a village while all of the mobs of cultists are coming after them, which you can't really do in 28 mil because it would require so much footprint. I mean, even a 6x4 or an 8x4 wouldn't really give you that same feel. So by scaling everything down, you can have very elaborate, long building stories through Burning Sands. And the system itself is delightfully simple. So one of the things he was doing when he started to make the game, he said he'd liked the idea of having a game that was very story driven, but also one where you can take the rule book after you've read through it and set it to one side and play maybe a small game where you don't have magic or ranged weapons, and then come back, and then like your next chapter may add a bit more, and then your next chapter adds a bit more. But you should just have to be able to read those little bits beforehand and then set the rule book down and play without having to worry about it. So your amount of actions is your health, and every turn you get that amount of actions plus a d6, and then you do whatever it is you have to do, and your actions go down. But as you get wounded, your overall actions go down because your health drops as well. So you end up with these moving pools, and when you hit zero health, then you're dead or knocked out for the game. So it's a massive world in a very small set. I just absolutely adore it. The figures he's done, especially some of the civilians, so you've got things like the slavers and merchants and that, and it has that Hyperborea feel. It kind of looks like it almost should be our world, but at the same time, then you've got things like the, what's he called now, the Gwandana birds, so the giant murder birds and things like that. Yeah. And there's Crom and his anvil itself. I think it's an absolutely stunning idea. It's a great little game. It's a fantastic setup, and the models and stuff. New stuff's coming out all the time. Obviously, now he's sitting at home. It may be a bit delayed. So he is still firing stuff out. But the way it goes is, if your order is small enough that he can fit it in a small envelope that will go in the postbox, when he does his once a week, you're allowed out without being shot. If you go out once a week to exercise, he'll post it. If it's going to be a big box type thing, you may be delayed. But certainly, it's just a stunner. It's a stunner, and it's a stunner in 15 mil, which means there's a lot of other little companies out there where you can start to add things in. You can add in historics if you want to do something. If you're big into the Conan novels, which I haven't read, but I had a few friends who read them, and there's a Robert E. Howard came up with a massive, massive world to explore. This is just really like a little microcosm. So if you're used to the films, you'll be able to jump in. But if you want to expand much, much larger, then there's a lot of ways you can go. So yeah,
it sounds like a really good way to do the Conan role playing game as well. Like if you took some of the stuff that he's done there and then use that to lay out the stuff that you'd be doing for the role playing game, I think that'd be a really good option. We've talked about doing role playing stuff in smaller scales before, so I think that's probably a good idea.
Well, I've got to say, it's official. 15 mil is my new favorite scale.
Without doubt,
15 mil is my absolute favorite scale, hands down.
Okay, get him a white robe, get him the little bunch of flowers.
I found Saladin as well.
Have you got Saladin? So, yay! So
I'll paint him up at some point.
It just is like over the years we have talked about opportunities where 15 mil could actually give you a better, grander gaming experience. Okay, but the key to this is 15 mil sculpts have been getting better and better. And some of the stuff that the guys, like, you look what Mythic did with Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc, yeah.
Like the quality of those sculpts is as good as any 28 mil sculpt I've ever seen. You know?
Look, even more recently to Steam Watchers, beautiful work.
Mm-hmm. So it's, I am absolutely now completely sold on 15 mil. I think RPGs would play better with 15 mil because I think you get a far grander space that you can explore. I love war games at 15 mil, primarily because every base becomes a little mini diorama.
Yeah.
And you just get that sense of, epicness. And you're not moving around any more bases than you would in a 28 mil game. Hmm. You know, and just with the quality of them getting better, I think the new standard in enjoyable RPGs and wargaming for me is going to be 15 mil. It's got so bad that if I'm, you know, the way I love, well, I used to love anyway, searching on eBay for old armies that I could take and rebase and bring back to life. I now never search eBay without the word 15 millimeter tagged on to the end. I just don't do it.
You're searching for, it's always 15 millimeters.
It's always 15 millimeters.
always looks bigger. One of the strange things for me, when I first came across this, a friend introduced me to it last year. And it was the idea, normally when people go, I'm going to play a skirmish game, they automatically think, well, you always play skirmishes in 28 mil because you've got the lower model count, and therefore it makes more sense to play it in 15 or in 28. Whereas he went, but I want my skirmish games to be big, and not big in the miniature sense, but big in the scale. And it is that you can have a whole village of warriors, you can have, you know, half a dozen heroes or whatever you happen to want to do and have this massive vista, but in a compact, presentable setting, you know. And if people have got a 6x4 table, fantastic. They can really go massive. I mean, you can have the whole city, and you can do it in little steps. Then you can have, you know, chapter one, scaling the walls, and then maybe like a stealth mission where you're infiltrating past archers who are moving back and forward on the ramparts, and then you're going through and fight through the temple. And that can all be played out in one board without having to reset the terrain in between each game, which in a 28 mil one, you'd be going, here's our first one, we play that, and then next week we'll come back and we'll do that. But no, boom, 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 boom. You can have it all set up and actually fight your way through. So yeah.
It's just in terms, Jerry, of the flexibility of it.
Yeah.
You know, recently we've explored some 6 mil stuff and even had a look at some 2 mil stuff, okay? And I think a lot of the thing of what may have put people off in the past on 15 mil is, let's be honest, the quality of the sculpts wasn't great.
It was very hit and miss.
It was a bit hit and miss, wasn't it? Yeah. You know, they were all, a lot of them were all pretty blobby, and, you know, they didn't, you know, they didn't have the same finesse and epicness that we were seeing in the 28 mil stuff. But that's not the case anymore. You know, that is not the case anymore. And for me, 6 mil, too small, okay? 28 mil and up, kind of too big now. My Goldilocks is the 15 mil. Yeah. My Goldilocks is the 15 mil. And if anybody out there wants to swap my 28 mil armies for a fully painted, fully based for your painted, you don't have to base them because I like that bit, for your painted 15 mil versions, I'm all over that. I would get swap shop running every day of the week.
What's Lloyd off grabbing?
I was, because like I have been going down in the scale as well, but I've been going down towards 20 mil to the...
Are you going 172nd? Well, 172nd is interesting.
For my birthday last year, and they just went straight on the pile of plastic. But, you know, I'm hoping maybe I'll get the time to work on it.
I think if you were doing something either World War II or moderns, 20 mil or 172nd scale is an obvious one to do. The reason being, all those model kit guys, the Tamiyas and stuff like that, is it Tamiya? Might be Tamiya, I can't remember. But anyway, all those Airfix, scale model guys,
Tamiya, and stuff, all that sort of stuff,
they have so much at 172nd scale. Both, I believe it covers the aircraft,
all the way back to engines.
Got this stuff as well.
So I got a bunch of company.
And the, sorry, Justin, the reason I got a bunch of it is because I was hoping to be able to use, you know, that's the sort of men and stuff. Hold on.
Yeah.
I was hoping to be able to use, keep using our terrain, the trees and all that sort of stuff, and the grass mats. Obviously, the buildings would need a swap. Yeah. But
that's a little Saladin.
That's Saladin. Yeah.
Uh-huh. You might need to spread his legs a wee bit more to fit over my camel.
Yeah, so. Well, we'll see. He has a...
Can I just ask, there. Jerry, how the hell did you do that? How did you switch?
Because I've set up multi-cameras, because even though I'm sitting in my little man cave and Justin's got all of the tech there, I've managed to plug in a second camera and work out a flick between them.
People have been stripping kit out so they can work from home.
What's
Holy
this?
I didn't strip any kit out.
What's this?
What have you got, Lloyd?
Lloyd's got a camera.
Oh, God, everything's going to break.
Oh, this is where it dies.
Let's see. Oh, is it not going to pick it up?
Oh.
You have to switch it down in the bottom. Bottom corner.
Oh, no, I'm alive.
It's upside down.
Right, you guys.
You're going down under.
And then
okay, you guys
back.
Are sickening me now, because I had no idea they had the capability to do this.
Well, it's mostly so I can start doing video tutorials and reviews again.
Yeah, well, I'm going to see if I can hunt another one out here in the office, because there are some things I would like to show off. Like,
happy days. Yes, this week's prize. Really? That means that three of our team are ready to do 24-hour live streams every day of the week from here on out. Anyway, that is our indie of the week. If you want to go and check out, it's cromsanvil.co.uk. And drop them a note, tell them we sent you.
Yeah, give Michael a bit of support.
I think it's time for Ben's news.
Coming to you from the center of Northwestern Europe. Covering board games, war games, card games, and all that you love. It's the news.
The first little bit of news we're looking at is, I should say, Zotally Awesome. I'm just going to leave that there for you. Zotally Awesome. You get
it? I like it.
So this is a new expansion that was shown off by the guys at Games Workshop for Warhammer Quest Blackstone Fortress. Mm-hmm. And this is one that includes the new Zot model that has come back from the ether to infect the world of Warhammer 40,000 once again. The actual scenario itself is a little standalone one, so it's not linked to anything that's happened before in Blackstone Fortress, but it allows you to follow around the Archivist, who actually sort of helps you and is on your side as you go to try and solve the puzzle of the mysterious Seath, whatever that means within the world of Blackstone Fortress. A little interesting thing about this one as well is that it's all sort of tied into the Zot lore. And one of the cool things about it is that you're actually trying to help the Archivist at the same time by trying to reactivate and find parts for his Zot spaceship. So if you wanted to delve deeper into the weird, grimdark lore of Warhammer 40,000, this is a pretty interesting expansion to go and pick up. Hopefully,
what do we know about
it should be coming quite soon. But
have been coming quite soon. It's probably
it should have been coming quite
now.
Soon. Yeah. But yeah. I can't.
What do we know about Zot, though?
I know that they've been in Warhammer Fantasy at some point,
and
they were a weird sort of alien race type. I think like, I remember, you know, like Albion and that kind of thing. But
I think they were in the Horus Heresy.
They were in 40K. They were part of the Tyranid list before they removed them. They never really fitted in there.
Are they a big race? Are they a warlike race of their own? Like, could we have a Zote army?
Oh yeah, you can go nuts if you want. They never made more than, I think, 3 models.
So they've got to be
one sci-fi and 2 fantasy. Yeah. So, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure there's probably been some exterminatus there from the Space Marines during the Great Crusade. If I remember right.
It's a great looking model.
I like the hexapods because so many times you just see sort of.
Go to the other picture.
The embiggen.
I don't know. I mean, I like its top half. But its hooves, it's just so cute looking.
Yeah.
It with doesn't a small look scary. Human skull.
If you cover the top bit, it's like, ooh, my wee hooves.
Yeah, but who says that you can't kick ass and be cute at the same time?
Very true. Yeah. I can't really argue with that.
Maybe I'm just scrambling around to try and find something fresh in 40K that I haven't seen before.
It's new again.
It's one of the things that I really like about what they've done with, like, the likes of Necromunda and Blackstone Fortress, and on the other side of things, Warcry and that kind of stuff. Is that they're really it's allowing them to delve into sort of areas of the lore that they've not touched in a long time, and bring it back slowly into sort of like a mainstream. Like with Necromunda, they've brought back the squats. You know, there's been a couple of squat characters now in there. Obviously, they're doing stuff in Age of Sigmar for, you know, bringing in strange monsters and the Fomari and that kind of thing as well. So there's lots of really cool elements that they're bringing into those, which I'm going to still classify as specialist games for you to play around with. And then they can be used within 40K as well. Oh, that's actually something to say. This actual set comes with rules to use him in regular games too. So that's a pretty cool, neat little addition.
That is
as well,
cool.
So.
Yeah. That is
Remember
cool.
Remember where he lives.
Not right, next up. Flames of War British. We have some packs of tanks.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, the guys at Battlefront were helping to grow effectively the infantry side of things. So you had a whole bunch of infantry platoons and that kind of stuff. But now they've moved on to repackaging and bringing together a whole bunch of new plastic tank kits. So you've got the Churchill armored troop that you can see there.
I like that you're getting the crocodile in there.
Yeah, with the flamethrower,
It's some effectively rolling fortresses if you're going to be stuck into sort of World War II. You've also then got the Sherman armored troop as well, which gives you a whole bunch of new options too.
They look really nice.
Yeah.
So that's 4 Shermans and a Firefly.
Yes, because
the plastic sprue lets you build variants. So you can build them all as Shermans without going for the Firefly upgrade, although if you can have a 17-pounder, always have a 17-pounder.
Yeah, I believe the thing they talked about in the sort of background for this particular set was that you can then take that Firefly to give you a little bit more of an oomph to deal with the German armor and stuff, which is pretty cool.
We like a bit of extra.
Yeah. And then you've got a Stuart Recce patrol as well.
Yeah. Oh, they're so
super cute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not Reiki, as I said earlier. But
first time I ever seen it, I was like, Reese? Stuart Reiki?
Is there peanut butter inside?
Yeah. And then finally, you've got the Cromwell armored troop as well in the mix too, which also has a
Sherman Firefly in there.
I like the Cromwells. That's cool because I have the rest. They're all part of the British starter pack thing that I have. Way up there somewhere.
I was going to ask if you ever got any further than building one crocodile.
I weighted a load of them down, so I've got stuff shoved into them to weight them all down. I've got loads.
What did you stick in them, Lloyd?
Das
clay.
I weighted all my models down with Das clay.
Nice.
I remember talking about them on the weekend or the XLBS.
Follow my clever plaster scene. That's what you were doing.
That's it.
if anyone's interested in the history of some of these vehicles, the Bovington Tank Museum does some great web series with David Fletcher. Actually talking about the construction and the history of some of the vehicles.
Mm-hmm. I shall drop a link to that in the show notes.
Well, if we want some quarantine viewing, it's a definite check out.
Well, if you want quarantine viewing, Chris and John filmed quite a lot of stuff. I think the book chat was hour long. They did do vehicle chats for these as well, so I don't know when that's coming.
But yes, and if anybody wants some real genuine quarantine viewing,
oh, crap.
You can hit me up in the Discord, all right?
And if you're one of those folks who haven't joined the Discord yet, there will be a link to join in the show notes below.
Yes. Now's a good time to remind people that we've, the Cult of Games members, all our cultists, got together and said, let's open the Discord to all of the On Tabletop community. So it is open to everyone now to come in. It's like a safe haven. It's a harbor of, not solitude.
It's a hobby haven.
It's like a harbor. It's great. So come on in, join us in the Discord, and it's great. It is great. I'm there every morning. Good morning, everybody! Yay!
You can use it to get your mind infected as well as your body.
Mm. Yes.
Well, there is some weird posting happening in there. So brace yourselves.
It's good. It's good. I love it. Right. Next up, Bitrix. Imperial Guard Lancers, Ben.
Yeah, so Vitrix have been working quite a lot on amount of sort of medieval and ancient stuff at the moment, but they're now also, they've released this set of 12 plastic Napoleonic Lancers of the Guard. But if you don't want to use them as part of Napoleon's force, then they've also said that this kit will allow you to build, and I quote, Prussians, Polish Line Lancers, the Lancers de Berg, and also Russian Lancers as well. So all you got to do is mess around with the different kind of uniform colors and that kind of thing, and also the weapons and accessories that they might have, and you'll have a very, very dynamic looking unit. I really, really like this set, mainly because it actually gives you cavalry in the midst of a charge. Like, there's so many plastic kits out there that give you cavalry cantering or maneuvering into position. This one is a set of riders who are on the charge, right, you know, heading right for combat and that kind of thing.
So there is only one problem with them, Jerry.
That they're Polish.
Other than that they're Polish, there's only one problem with them.
Well, they have my bugbear, which is, you see the reins.
You're going to mention the reins. Nobody else cares about that.
It always annoys me.
What's your problem with the reins?
Basically, it's a flat piece of plastic that goes straight the way through.
He wants very thin, rain-like reins that will break off.
Always annoys me.
It's not that. I'll give you one more chance, because everybody in the community knows what the problem is.
Back to the big picture.
It's under plastic and they're too big.
Up or down?
The big group photos we've seen.
This one?
Is it because they've not got explosive-tipped lances and las guns or something?
Nope.
They've all got the same face.
Is it because they all got moustaches?
Nope. I think they are perfect in every single way, except they're not 15 mil.
Warren's new hobby horse.
If they were 15 mil, I would be breaking my curfew here to try and get there. I really would. Yeah, I'd be sneaking past the police and all to do that. I might even take a plane, but there is no plane. this is the perfect time ever for me to have lived. A point when there is no planes.
Basically, like, what are you doing out of your house? I'm out to get a group of men.
it's brilliant, you know, because like all the airlines are crying out for a bailout, and they are lucky I'm not in government, because I'd be given strip clubs bailouts before I'd be given airline bailouts.
You know, there's still
anybody who charges me for extra legroom and extra bag space doesn't deserve a bailout.
There's still thousands and thousands of air flights happening. It's interesting, the whole airplane thing.
Yeah,
because
but they're all moving stuff around, though.
Yeah, if they ground their fleet, all their pilots will have to go through all these extra tests and stuff to get up and running. So there's going to come a point where they're literally taking off the runway, doing a loop, and coming back. So the airplane is certified as still ready to fly, and the crew is still certified as ready to fly.
Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Anyway, Vitrix, can I just say they are some of the most beautiful cavalry sculpts I have ever seen.
They are very cool.
I particularly like the Tashes. But do me a favor and go and spend 500 grand or whatever retooling now to make
I'm in my element. Or, Warren, there's an easy fix for this. Just let them send you the STL files and you can resin bath print them at whatever scale you want.
Oh, you've two hopes of that, man.
Or,
Bob, no hope.
with the social distancing, they'll look 15 mil because you'll have to stand 2 meters away from them.
True.
Yeah, but I still have to paint them. Right. Next up, this is an interesting one. This is something we're going to be diving deeper into and exploring more. This is coming in April, all been well, from Plastic Soldier Company, and it's Mortem et Glorium. Now, Jerry,
yes,
can you fill us in a bit on this?
I'll try my best. So Meg, as people in the community call it, Meg, because it's much easier to say. Meg is an ancients through to sort of pike and shot system, mostly played in either 28 or 50 mil, but it's base size settings. So you've got like a 40 mil base per stand, and then multiple stands make a unit. So it doesn't really matter the figures that go on there as long as your stands are consistently based to your opponent. So if you want to play in 10 mil, 15 mil, 2 mil, 54 mil, you know, you can do it. The way it works is it came out a few years ago. Simon Hall wrote it and published it himself. And it takes the usual sort of DBM, L'Art de la Guerre sort of style of game, which I know you're not a huge fan of, and Lloyd isn't as well, because you've got things like you don't reform and things like that. He added a few steps to the game. So whereas normally you would have these lines come close, and then crush, and if somebody came into your flank, you would have to turn the whole thing. Meg, individual stands can reform within your unit. So if somebody hits you, and then you can try and countercharge, and then if somebody hits you in the flank, you can turn the stand. So you actually reform to protect your flanks. But all of this is done with a specific card and dice mechanic, so that they're custom cards and custom dice in a range of colors. So when you actually come to play your turn, you'll get so many cards drawn per commander, and then different values of card will allow you to do more things. So you might have quite a lot of cards early on, which allows you to move your army into position. But then if you start losing commanders and losing things, then it reduces the amount. Or if you get a bad hand, then you've got to rethink tactically what you can do. It's like, oh, well, I really want to ruffle stomp with everything, but I need to just be able to harbor my resources. What are the most effective things? And because your opponent can countercharge with his cards and stuff like that, you have to work out what the best order to do things is, because if you go too soon on a unit, then you might find yourself flanked by one of his units. So you've got to get things very tactically set up before you start just throwing stuff down. It's not just push forward and chuck dice. So Plastic Soldier Company this year announced that they were taking over publishing Meg from Simon, and then immediately went out and went, right, we're going to do a 50 mil game. How can we do a 50 mil game? We need 50 mil soldiers. And they started looking for some of the best 50 mil soldiers out there. So they got the Lurkio range, which Meg started with, but they've also added to that other ranges. And I don't know how many they've announced. I think they've announced most of them. So there are ranges being produced in metal from companies that they've gone in and went, would like to do that for Meg. So they've got the rights to produce things like Corvus Belli before they decided to go all Infinity, did one of the most stunning ranges of 15 mils. They're going to be coming on board, or they've already come on board, and they're going to be cast in not metal, but this
Ultra cast
or CO cast, depending on where you read it on the PSC's website. So they've got ranges coming. And not just the usual, you know, we're going to start with one range. They're going, we're going to start with all of the ranges as quickly as we can get them up and running. Whoa. I think they're going to launch with, I want to say, six different armies. So you're going to have your Romans and
we've seen some previews for Goths, Huns, and I believe said Roman previews are coming soon as well.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And I'm pretty sure there's some Persian-y, Parthians and Seleucid type of Middle Eastern stuff coming, but they've got three companies worth of ranges to play with, and the test models that I've seen popping up on various Facebook feeds from them in the plasticky Soeo Ultra Castio looks like it's exceptional quality.
I'm very excited. Seeing some of it in the flesh.
I'm waiting for my copy of Meg arriving, because I ordered it last week, and it's like, what? New lockdown.
Is this the compendium that you've ordered?
No, I've ordered the old rule book and card and dice set. So there will be a revised print. So essentially, because this has been going for 2 years, every year he'll cope. Simon went back and would rebalance stuff and tweak stuff and go, well, that doesn't quite work. And this is too powerful, so we're doing this. So the compendium, when it launches as part of Plastic Soldier Company's MEG, will be a reprinted compendium where they've brought all of those changes and tweaks into one published book, so you're not having to sit with a marker and go through. I will go through mine with a marker.
You can still buy from his web store. It's a discounted version of the last set of rules with a bunch of additional stuff. So if you want to learn how to play ahead of the April release of the new compendium, then you can do that. So
essentially, cool. If because you need the cards and the dice anyway, essentially you're kind of getting the rule book for free if you buy it from him now. And so if the rule book is massively different when the compendium comes out, and I don't think it is, like I say, it's just got the fixes, you can pick up the second copy of the rules then. It means you can throw your original copy at a friend.
Is this a softback thing or a hardback thing, or what are we
the Meg I've seen was hardback. The rules I've seen online. So
nice.
One of the other things they've talked about recently, and it's quite appropriate for the kind of world we're living in right now, is that they put together some solo rules as well, using what exists on the market. So as part of that post, which we'll have in the show notes, there's a little run through of how you run a game using solo stuff, using the cards from the game as well. So you can go and check that out if you're already a Mortem et Glorium player.
And that goes for every single game company out there. It goes without saying that the entire community says this is the best opportunity you've ever had to have us all playing with ourselves ever. So
yes.
Get stuck in. Right, Phalanx have announced that the pre-orders for Successors is up.
Yeah, so this is a board game that was on Kickstarter last year, and pre-orders are now available for the board game for everybody to pick it up now. This is quite a classic by Richard H. Berg and Mark Simonich, and it's gone through a couple of different iterations, but this new one from Phalanx sort of takes a lot of the stuff from those original games, takes that on board and sort of plays around with it lovingly, and then has made this a much more deluxe and primed and well-polished version of the game. The premise of Successors goes back to Alexander the Great, who obviously had his mighty empire, but when he died, his generals and those in political power split it up and took parts for themselves. And so you are going to be playing as those political figures and those generals within Alexander's court, trying to take control of everything that Alexander had built whilst not going too far. Because if you start to rise above everybody else, you'll get seen as a usurper. And then, you know, you'll get negative victory points and things like that. So it's all about balancing things and stuff like that. They've also thrown in a whole bunch of additional mechanics to do with backstabbing and skullduggery and betrayal. So if you like that kind of thing, as well as a lot of traditional Euro game style mechanics, this is one that you definitely want to go and check out for yourself. As I say, the Kickstarter funded went exceptionally well. They've done some really nice things for this new version of the game, where they've done some models for it as well. So instead of just having traditional counters, they've got some really nice sculpts of some of the different models and stuff too for the game. And if you like the idea of trying to vie over the control of Alexander the Great's empire, then this seems like a pretty good board game to dive in and check out yourself. So,
I'd back to Ptolemy.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah.
Bushido Ben.
Yeah, so
they have some new releases, or
the guys at Bushido, GCT Studios, who are ahead of Bushido, I think it was last year they came out with a new edition of the game called Rising Sun, and this meant they went back and looked at a whole bunch of the different factions and brought them back to the table in a new revamped look. And some of the new stuff they've been releasing this week that they couldn't do at Adepticon is, as you can see here, the Wolf Clan. So if you like the idea of proper badass-looking Ronin with their amazing weapons and bows and that kind of thing, and you just like wolves, who doesn't like wolves, then you can check out this new box set which comes out for the game this weekend. They've also got a new sort of little guess you'd say little vignette set, which I think is really cool. And this is Tanaka, Kazuha, and his and the heir. Because one of the big things about the Wolf Clan is that they're trying to reforge the dynasty that they lost as part of the game's background. So you've got a really nice characterful little set there. And what's really nice from the guys at GCT is that they're a little bit of a, I guess you'd say, underground style company, but they do this absolutely amazing and narratively driven 35mm game. So if you like the look of this stuff, I would guarantee that if you dived into their web store, you would definitely find something that you enjoy. The last set that they've also got coming up this weekend throughout this sort of Adepticon period is the Yuta box set. So if you like the idea of controlling the undead, bringing them to the fore, then you've got some very, very cool looking miniatures there too. So you've got the character in the middle there playing her instrument alongside two of her witchy allies, with some of the dead being risen from the battlefield to fight alongside them. So some very, very nice
looking stuff there that kind of builds on the Yuri cult.
Yeah, they are really, really nice.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah,
I can hardly believe how good these are.
Yeah.
And the wolf pack before that, it is just jaw droppingly good.
It really is.
You were going to say something there, Lloyd? Sorry,
I was digging the spectral smoke that was coming out through the skeletons and stuff. Yes, that was really cool. Nice. Yeah.
They very much are one of these subgenre underground hits. The people who play Bushido love it a bit, and you can see why.
Yeah.
They just don't seem to have as much traction as some other companies have got with theirs.
That's incredible stuff.
Every time we see them, they're coming out with new stuff, new cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah, but that's always good. Quality of those.
Yeah.
You know, that's another level. You know, like I always loved the Bushido stuff, was always really, really good. But this is another level altogether. It's incredible.
Well, it's quite interesting. Over the last year or so, they've moved away from, I guess, what you consider traditional hand sculpting methods, and they've gone to this 3D-based modeling thing. And I still think the models look fantastic. They even look... a lot of the time when you see renders, you're like, well, it's never going to look like that in the flesh. But actually, the stuff from Bushido, from GCT for Bushido, when you actually see it, a lot of it's basically exactly as you see it there, really. And it paints up very, very nicely. It's in 35mm, so it's a bit bigger as well, which is pretty cool.
We've got to get a game of this in. We have got to get a game of this
Agreed.
In.
Yeah.
Right. Nice. Ark World are giving away a print and play set for free. So this is a new print and play version of the Ark World starter set.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it has the Wild Elves and the Halflings in it, Ben.
Yeah, so last year on Kickstarter, Warplot Games went to Kickstarter to try and get their new starter set, the new edition of Arkworld, to the tabletop. And so Alex Huntley, who's the guy behind this, has decided that because we're all trapped indoors, we can have a little crafty project to do. And so he painstakingly went through and took all of his artwork and turned it into files that you can use to print and play for yourself and play the game. So you can play it in two-player with just someone taking control of the Wild Elves and the Halflings of Hobbleshire, as they're known, with the Forest Troll in the background, or you could play it three-player and have someone take control of the Forest Troll as well. The mechanics for this game are really, really good, and they're all included in there with a free rulebook and everything, which is very nice. You've also got the terrain and the accessories and all the other bits and pieces you need. It's got a really nice sort of almost cooperative storytelling element to the gameplay for Arkworld, where one of the big focuses of it is that if you want to do a special move, then you spend a certain sort of like a resource to do it, but you agree with your opponent whether or not it's cool or not. So you say, my forest troll is going to pick up this tree and squish your guy with it. And you say, cool, so I guess that would be about a 5-power move. And you go, yeah, let's do that. And it's all about trying to tell that story together on the tabletop, which I think is really, really fun. And it makes for some really interesting games that have lots of water cooler moments as well. So it's very good.
Awesome.
Cool.
RPGs. Free Legion has a sale.
They do, yes.
Is this all of their core books, Ben?
So I believe Jerry might have a little bit more details on this one, but I think it's all of their core books. So Aliens, Tales from the Loop, Forbidden Lands, all those kind of games, all of their core books are available for half price for a limited period of time through DriveThruRPG.
Yeah, they, very, very cool. They haven't said yet how limited that limited period is. So any supplemental material is at its regular full price, but to get people in and playing all of the core books, so they have 6 current rule sets, they've all gone to half price. And that includes Alien, which only came out
Yeah, which is very new.
Three months ago. You know, it launched just before Christmas, massive flagship for them. And they went, everything. You're stuck indoors. We're all stuck indoors. They're still working away on bits and pieces for several games and expansions. I was like, well, we'll give you this. And if you haven't played any of the games before and maybe you're going, well, even half price is a bit much, they all have quick starts, which are free. Through the drive-through RPG as well, one of which I think for Forbidden Lands is 150 page quick start. It's not exactly a 2 pages of here's how you role play, go ahead. So I think it's a great opportunity for people. If they're into role playing, they can go ahead and do it. If they haven't tried it before, it's a good time to grab something, because an awful lot of places are popping up. Discord's being used more and more, and Discord has opened up the amount of people who can be in a channel, and screen sharing has been enabled on Discord servers and stuff. So you don't need to get your friends in a room to RPG. You can do it virtually now. And if you have a family who are into storytelling and gaming, then it's a good way to try out some things, because you've got very sandboxy stuff like Forbidden. So Forbidden Worlds is totally sample. You go nuts, you work it all out yourself, you design your world. If you're not that big into it, maybe if you haven't role played before, Simborum is a more classical fantasy game where you have a world that's set and you've got the races are set. So depending on where your level is at, there's options there within it. They also do retro modern with Tales from the Loop, which is set in the 80s. You've got Mutant Year Zero, which is post-apocalyptic, so there's a birth set on Earth, which gives you a bit more of a grounding. Or you can go Alien if you've seen the film, or if you want to go full sci-fi, Coriolis, which puts you and your crew on a ship of your own design and off into that sector of worlds where you're trying to carve out your own little empire. So everything from super sci-fi down to classic fantasy is available there, and I wholeheartedly recommend it. I have multiple of their books up there, and each one they're a joy. The detail that goes into them is stunning. Even just getting the PDFs and just going through and looking at the artwork and the world building is beautiful.
I was going to say, if you're struggling to get people, like maybe they're on the fence about it, Tales from the Loop is coming to Amazon as a TV series soon. So if they watch that and go, this is a cool world, and then you go, well, I've got the tabletop game, you can play that then online.
Which is better.
A video game.
It's also worth. Well.
What, sorry? Justin?
No, I think it's Generation Zero, is something quite similar.
Possibly. I can't remember.
That's a video it's game. Also worth, it's also worth mentioning. I'm going to mention it quickly. That on Sunday in XLBS, myself and Jerry have been forced to explore digital ways for us all to game together. Please, if you haven't already, join the Cult of Games. It's the only way we're going to stay alive in all of this. If you can find it in your hearts to keep this project running, please come and join the Cult of Games, and then join us on a Sunday morning as we XLBS the shit out of life. And we'll be talking about digital gaming. Now,
forget food story. On the table. Without all you guys, we can't put plastic on ourselves.
More games in my Steam library.
At the moment, the way things are going, it's affording the rent and the power. It's like, right. This last news story. Remember I said at the start about surprises, and we don't get very many surprises? As soon as I saw Ben's headline for this news story, I knew I wasn't going to click on it. I'm going to keep this one as a surprise. The headline. No, don't click on it yet, Justin. Don't click on it.
All you're seeing.
All right, okay. It is right. Headline. It reads here on this running order is Dinosaur Riding Theodore Roosevelt.
Now, it's very important.
Now, I have some great friends over at War Cradle Studio, and maybe those guys were sitting in the studio thinking, poor old Warren, let's do something nice for him. And a dinosaur riding Theodore Roosevelt? Man, this could be the best mini I've ever seen. Right. Let me see it, Justin.
All right.
Okay, so grammar is important in this case.
That's not what I was expecting. Oh, well.
Because it could be a dinosaur riding Theodore Roosevelt, or dinosaur riding Theodore Roosevelt, however you want to say it. But yes. So this
either is, way, it's not what I was expecting, Ben.
It's so, yeah.
So this is a 2020 event exclusive miniature from the guys at War Cradle. Yeah. And it will be useful in both Wild West Exodus and their upcoming Lost World Exodus as well, which brings in a lot more stuff from Dystopian Wars, if you remember that game. And so this is going to be available online throughout the entire of the convention season up until Gen Con, if, fingers crossed, it happens. If it doesn't, then it'll continue to be available online for a lot of people. And effectively, it's a really nice-looking little miniature for you to throw into your games if you like Wild West Exodus and something a bit weird. So, yeah, it's got a cool dinosaur. It's got Theodore Roosevelt. So, you know, have at it, paint it, enjoy it, and have fun. Yeah.
Right. Okay, that is your news. Guys, let's prepare ourselves, because next up, we're going to be checking out the Spring Clean Challenge. Okay, guys, Spring Clean Challenge 2020. To keep us all occupied, the Spring Clean Challenge is about picking up an old project, either incomplete or something that you would like to breathe a new sense of life into, and bring it over to the On Tabletop Project system and just documenting what you're doing. And we're going to be giving away 50 quid vouchers. Now, it's going to run from now until June 20th to basically the whole of spring. We have some ones for us to look at, Ben. So I
picked out four projects that had come up in the first week or so of us doing this Spring Clean Challenge. So we'll have a dive in and have a look and see what people are doing. The first is a really awesome one from one, and I will find the name in a second. Henry Leet. I'm going to say that's the name.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And this is a really awesome project which looks at building up and renovating a Sally Forth tramp steamer that was sort of worked on last year in February, I believe. But now he's going back in and he's starting to paint up all the different sections of it and bring it to life. Because one of the cool things about this is that he's looked at it to try and bring together a little bit of a, I guess you'd say, like a Tintin style project for this. And as far as it's looking so far, things are coming together very, very nicely. And it's we're only just about a week into the project, which is pretty cool.
You know what's very annoying about that?
What?
What's that?
He's using garden wire that he's cut down to make the railings. And I've just realized that would have been an easier way of doing the railings on my bloody U-boat than soldering it by hand. Just looking at going, oh, yeah. Not only could I have done that, I have that wire over there. I wouldn't have had to go and buy any. So, yeah.
That's very cool.
Really nice, isn't it?
Nice-looking boat.
Yeah, well, I think one of the cool things about this is that it's gone from that kind of incomplete stage to immediately you can see a difference in what's happening with the project. You know, getting the base of the ship done and all kinds of things like that, and all the interior is starting to come together as well. So
go up a bit, Justin. Yeah, go up a bit. That's like Eddie Rockets there. So it is.
So where do you want me to stop?
Click on that.
Okay.
Now that is superb. That the entire boat is open on one side.
Yeah.
What an amazing gaming piece.
Yeah.
That would be
great for 7TV if he's going to do 1920s pulp or whatever running through the tram steamer. Or, you know, it could be chugging along being attacked by Somali pirates and Spectre.
Yeah. Or some attack.
You could do some World War II on that, couldn't you? Some like bolt action and the likes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you could also do like War of the Worlds and stuff. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you could throw aliens into the mix as well. That'd be cool.
Mars Attacks.
Yes, Mars Attacks, yeah.
Actually, there's a Spring Clean project that that Justin could undertake.
I've already chosen mine. I haven't started it yet, but I've already chosen mine.
I wonder if we got John to do it, to take our Mars Attacks army. Mars Attacks army up to speed. This project is brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. I love this.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
It fulfills all the things that we talked about when it comes to getting that initial couple of posts in, showing off what it looks like, at the time, and then slowly developing things. Because that's one of the key things that I like seeing in these spring cleaning hobby challenges. You don't have to do it, obviously, but it's always nice to see what it looks like before.
Yes.
And then the stages that go through to what it looks like after. Because that's a real sort of nice thing to dive into.
Who's next? Who's next? You've got me salivating now.
So next up, we've got 144 Artist, who's been working a little bit of terrain. And so picked up a bunch of these sort of trees and things from a company a while back. And so now he's been taking those, and he didn't do anything with them. And he's starting to develop them into these little tiny sort of terrain pieces to go onto a tabletop to use in, I guess you'd say, fantasy games, a little bit historical maybe as well, but primarily fantasy, I think. And Kings of War, that's the thing, so we're seeing some really nice bits and pieces here where you see how they look to begin with, as well as looking at some of the stuff with the resin pieces, and then going through to the final stuff that he's been working on at the moment as well, doing a little bit of flocking and all sorts as well. So
very nice.
What a treat.
This reminds me of the type of tree that you custom made one time, Lloyd.
Well, that's, I think it's
what I'm looking.
This is a similar combination of branches inside tape and stuff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm. Whereas what I was using was metal wire, and I was using the whole super glue and baking soda trick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then for other ones like palm trees and things, I did like a wire and then wrapped it with masking tape.
Yes.
Yeah. You have it sitting there?
I have some, not all, I've got some, you know, masking tape takes paint pretty well, you see.
It's one of the things I think is a good avenue for people to go down if it comes to thinking of what you want to do for the spring clean challenge, because one of the things that I think a lot of people have is they have things that they've tried to make into terrain and then either given up on it or done something else or bought some plastic or MDF. But if you went in and looked at all that kind of stuff that you might now consider to be like junk, I guess, take that and turn it into something. And that's a really good, way of cleaning up not only your hobby area, but also making a nice, presentable battlefield at the end of it as well.
Yeah.
Even with the likes of the MDF and laser cut stuff, a lot of it comes where, like the foreground stuff, you can play with it as is. Mm-hmm. But people who've been sitting there playing with whatever happens to be just straight out of the box, you could go back in and tart it up now.
Mm. Yeah, like we've done similar things where we've made things a little bit more wintry and all kinds of things like that for some of our tables. So doing something like that to make it fit your games would probably be a good idea.
Because as Big Ben always says, their stuff isn't pre-painted, it's pre-primed. Yeah. So it's only ever a base layer that you can do more on. And for a lot of people, they go, well, no, once it's built, it's on the table, it's grand. But,
but there is so much more you can do with it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, who's next? The upgrade kits they've done with for it as well.
Yes, exactly.
Who's next? Who's next? I could sit here all day watching these.
Next up, we've got Panzer Kabutier, who, again, in a Kings of War flavor, went out and picked up a bunch of Perry's Rose of the War of the Roses, that's the way around you say it, figures. And now he's turning those into a Kingdom of Men army for use in Kings of War. And so you can see a little bit of how it's all come together now, starting to work with, setting out the regiments and how they're all going to be set up, working on the basing structure and all that kind of thing as well, looking at some of the characters and that kind of thing. And for one, it means you get to play around with Perry's plastics, which are very, very nice anyway. Mm. And they all seem to be coming together into a really nice looking force here that would be very much kind of like Empire style force if you were looking to do something a bit more Warhammer, but works obviously very, very well in the very broad world of Kings of War that Mantic have put together as well. So very, very nice stuff there.
That's a wonderful project. I'm going to be watching that like a hawk.
You definitely should, because we're just hitting this point. So the planning stage, he went in and he found a pennant from a specific War of the Roses piece of heraldry, and then changed them. So each one of these he's done himself, and he's created his own little story. So each unit belongs to a specific hero of his, not War of the Roses, War of the Roses League of Rotary Army. So each unit will then have the livery of their lord and bannerman. So they're going to have this overall thing. I've seen he's already hammered out a unit last night. Filthy. It's really annoying. But yeah, I definitely want to watch because there's some great stuff coming.
Definitely. Special skills.
Yeah, I've seen these. And this is something that I don't see normally when I'm looking at these, and I was particularly impressed by. If you look at the writing on the left-hand side of the banner, it's reversed because it wouldn't be printed on both sides. It would be stitched through.
It would be stitched,
The writing's reversed.
Lovely attention to detail.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Okay. Before my heart breaks, have we another one?
We've got one more from the community and then one more from me. But first up, we've got one from Hegemon Gary, who has put together a project which is looking at bringing together a World War III force, so a Team Yankee Star Force.
Nice.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of different things in the mix here. So as well, he actually attended the Team Yankee boot camp, came away with the US Army Force, but didn't really do much after the boot camp, but now he's decided to dive back in and upgrade and update this project and dive, you know, do a whole bunch of interesting stuff. So as well as traditional painting of like tanks and vehicles, he's also doing, as you can see here, a little bit of 3D printing on some very excellent looking jets as well.
Some
resin. You can't have the Cold War without jets in the mix. So yeah, some very, very nice stuff there from Hegemon Gary. Look out.
Yeah.
Those are great. I wonder where he got the files from.
It's in Discord. You could ask him.
Okay.
Happy days.
Come to Discord, Justin.
Yeah. I was going to say quickly one thing about that project as well is that he's done a lot of sort of tutorial stuff further down the page. So as well as showing off how a lot of the final product looks, he's also been showing off how to mask, to do camo patterns, using putty and things like that as well. So if you want to dive in and, you know, maybe give a couple of tutorial thumbs up and that kind of thing as well, there's some pretty interesting stuff in there for that too.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Lovely work. Right, Ben, go on. Is this going to be Burrows and Badgers, is it?
No. So Burrows and Badgers is what I'm using for my sort of updated painting journal on the main site, but in the project system I decided to go back and, you know, fulfill my promise that I made last week. So I've gone back to pick up the Doom board game from 2016 and I've been doing quick, easy board game style painting projects for these. So as you can see here, I've started work on the Mancubus, which is one of the big boys from the new game, and you might remember from the old classic retro game as well.
Hang on a second, has that monster got a female body part there, or am I what is going on down there?
It's a bit of tech.
I like to think of it as like a little jockstrap or something.
It's a little button cover, I think.
But so the main sort of focus of what I'm doing with these models, and I talked about it a little bit last week, is that it's all based on the idea of either contrast paints or washes layered on in order to give a quick and easy like coating to a model to then go over it, maybe sometimes with dry brushing and that kind of thing as well, just to finish it off. But you can see I've done the Mancubus, I've got the Pinky. That's a model from a different company that I was like, you know what, I'm doing some Doom stuff, I'll throw that in as well.
Nice. Then,
that's it was badass. Done using similar methods. So all of the armor was done using green washes that were then layered up, and then a lot of the sort of intricate bits were done with normal paints. Same for the imp that you can see there diving towards the model too. So that model, just as a shout out, is from Kluckver Miniatures. If you want to get that, you can go and have a look at it. Yeah.
But, this is making me want to go and watch the movie again.
The movie, no. I watched the movie over the weekend, and my God, it's bad. But yeah,
I enjoy it.
But yeah, that's one of the Revenants. So that's an example. And this is an interesting thing that I found from working with contrast paints. Some of them go down a lot better than others. So that was done with the Blood Angels Red. Mm-hmm. And that's given a much more vibrant look to the red, which I then sort of darkened down with Nuln oil over the top of everything just to make it all sort of blend together with the metallics that I'd done. But some of the others, like the Pink, take maybe two layers sometimes to get it looking just right. And also then maybe a little bit of dry brushing here and there as well. But
you're doing it wrong, man. Get the pot. Get the mini.
Oh, just dip it in. Yeah,
in the pot.
like Bo from the Army Painter?
Yeah, basically. Now this was something that I was very interested in because I had to paint these Marines and they were done using the Apothecary White contrast paint from Games Workshop. So I was like, how on earth does that work? But it effectively gives it a little bit of like a grey-blue tinge to the model. Mm-hmm. So it builds up from the base, the base that you put onto the miniatures with the sprays. I can't remember what it's called now. I think it's Wraithbone, I think it is.
Yeah, I think you Wraithboned that, and I think it would have worked maybe better had you grey-seared that one.
I would argue about this, Warren, because my tanks that for the Imperial Guard were done in Wraithbone, and so were the infantry, and it worked pretty well on them.
Yeah but if you're looking for white, I Wraithbone is quite warm. The grey-sear... Yeah. Will give you closer to an actual
I'm just going to also point out, I did then cover these in Nuln oil as well, so that's probably why it's a little bit darker.
I noticed the Nuln oil,
Yeah. But I also then did little bit tiny markings on there with normal paint, just so they match the board game quality. Well, the board game components, like the cards and stuff. But it was actually quite refreshing to be able to sit down and you'd be like, you know what? I've nearly got through everything now. And so, but as my friend pointed out, and I think I said last week, I'm going to paint all this up and then we're never going to play it again, probably. But,
Good man. Good man yourself.
It's the way to go.
Right. So come and join us on the Spring Clean Challenge. Look, if you've got projects lying at home, lift one out that you haven't looked at in a long time. Now's the time to finish it. You'll feel great. Or if you have a project that you're looking at it and you're going, I think I could take that a step up.
Yeah. As was raised actually in the comments of last week's Weekender, if you've got a Spring Clean Challenge that you didn't really finish last year, there's no reason why you can't take that and update that and throw some more stuff into the mix. So if you had a project that was waiting and then waited some more, you can go back in and try and finish it off yourself this
Absolutely,
year.
Guys. And if coronavirus doesn't bankrupt us, we'll keep doing this every year. So, right. Next up, we've got the 3D printing is the shit. Oh boy, do we have goodies for you this weekend. Right, the guys over at Dragon's Rest reached out and they are giving away a model kit to help any of you guys with a 3D printer to, deal with your boredom and do something cool. And they're giving away a spaceship, okay? It's called the Dragon's Crest Spaceship. Have a look at that.
Oh my God.
It is. Oh.
I think immediately, right? Battle Systems are coming out with a new expansion for Core Space soon.
Yes.
And immediately when I saw that, I was like, that would be a perfect ship for that. But
yeah. That would also work for your Doom board game.
It would as well. It could be a landing ship for the Marines. Yeah.
But look, that's going to work for Star Wars Legion.
Oh, yeah.
It would work for Infinity. It would work. It would work perfectly for 40K. Man, there's no limits to what that it would do in the sci-fi world.
The only limit is your imagination.
Oh, it's so good. If you go to dragons.rest, you'll be able to download that for free. And these are the components and stuff that you will be printing out. It's got interiors.
Oh, I see a little cot. Look at that.
Yeah. Well, there's actually a little one there with something in there or someone.
Oh. Yep. Oh, I see.
So, definitely, give your Mandos a home. Every Mando needs a home. Head over to Dragon's Rest. Now, the guys at Dragon's Rest said, look, let's do something cool for the community as well. As well as giving away an amazing spaceship. So what they did was they gave us a surprise 3D package, okay? Now, I could sit here and tell you how awesome it is and what it is and how versatile it all is, and I will. So it is awesome, and it is versatile. You're going to be able to use what's in this package in pretty much any of your games, okay? It is a brilliant download to have, okay?
You printed D6 and measuring sticks?
Weighted D6s. Weighted pre-ovened.
All you have to do is just leave a hollow inside on the side you want to face up. Done.
That's cheating. That's cheating. You didn't put any effort into those dice.
You've got to bake those dice, man. But anyway, look, we're keeping it as a surprise just to do something just a little bit different for you guys, you know, that just to give you that little moment where you can get some endorphins in a fashion that you can do it in front of other people. So it's there. It's a surprise. The link is in the show notes. Go and download it. And if you haven't already, we have three other models there that you could download for free. We have the most awesome female paladin
on horseback. We have incredible Grom the Barbarian. Gorm the Barbarian. And we have the super Necrosis Tower, pillar tower thing for you Necrony dudes.
Pillar tower thing. Well, described, Warren.
We have a lot of cool stuff up there because 3D printing is totally the shit. Right. Next up, time for some Kickstarters. Ben, what have we got this week?
So the first Kickstarter that we're going to be diving into is from Horrible Guild, who used to be called Horrible Games. And this is Vampire the Masquerade Vendetta. And this is a 3-6 player asymmetrical competitive card game by Charlie Cleveland and Bruno Faduti. A lot of people might know Bruno Faduti quite well. He was the man behind Citadels and things like that.
Ah, Faduti, of course. I know.
Faduti.
So this is a game of bluffing, strategy, and deduction set within the world of Vampire the Masquerade and World of Darkness, where you take on the role of one of the major vampire clans, so Bruja, Gangrel, Malkavian, Nosferatu, Toradol, Tremere, or the Ventru. Each have their own asymmetrical set of cards that they'll be able to play during the game. And the whole process of what you're trying to do is that on each turn, you'll be playing cards into different areas of the game space in order to try and take control of them. And you can do this either by showing off your force and your might, your sort of martial elements, or you can sort of, subtly work in the background and use some of those statistics to try and lead the way. You can also throw blood into the mix. It is the world of vampire, after all, to try and tip things in your favor. So what you'll do on a turn is that you'll have little sections of the board where you'll play your cards into, and you either play them face up, in which case everybody knows the kind of strength that you're going to be putting into these areas, or you can play them face down, in which case they're turned over at the end as a little bit of a surprise to try and win you the sort of areas and control them on the tabletop. The whole sort of aim of the game is to build up enough blood and enough power and enough victory points to be able to say that you can then become the Lords of Chicago and take over everything on the tabletop. It sounds really, really, very cool. The game plays very quickly as well. I think it's not that long, probably about 30 minutes, 45 minutes to play a game, which is pretty cool. The fact that you're going to have all these different clans with their own asymmetrical powers is also a really good reason to dive in and play this multiple times. On top of that, one of the cool things it has in the game that I really, really like is that you start off with a hand of two cards. It might be one or two cards. And then throughout the game, you'll add a new card to your hand to enable you to do more powers and stuff on the tabletop. But the deck is big enough that you will never see all of the cards in your deck. So every time, even if you're playing as Bruja, regardless, every time, you may see different cards each time you play the game. And even then, you'll see them in different orders. So it means that you can never just have a winning strategy and just run with that. So when you sit down to play a game, you'll be like, boom, I've got to try and work out exactly how I'm going to do it this time with the kind of resources that I have at hand. There's a print and play version of the game. If you want to go and check that out and print it off and give it a go yourself. The rule book is also there for download. A big thumbs up when it comes to anything on Kickstarter. Yeah, they've done a whole bunch of stretch goals as well.
So. It's on Tabletop Simulator and Tabletopia.
Yeah, it is also there too. So if you want to play it digitally with your friends right now, you can do that as well. So
yeah,
we'll be talking about this tomorrow or Sunday.
Well, just a quick note for everybody. So Tabletop Simulator, you need to download via Steam. Tabletopia is actually a web browser-based version of the same kind of an idea. Okay?
Okay. Awesome.
Not the same software.
Next up.
Not the same software.
Next up, we have the future of the industry. 3D printing.
Yeah.
And do you know what? This is, we have been talking about how 3D printing could potentially become the future of our industry for the last number of years. Mm. And I don't think in any single conversation that we ever had did we mention that it would be a global pandemic that would be the thing that would make 3D printing become the must-have thing in the hobby. Right, so Nine Worlds by Ill-Gotten Games. Mm-hmm. Vikings, dudes. Just loads of awesome 3D printable Viking stuff.
Yeah, so the core set for this Kickstarter revolves around an encampment-style settlement, so a bunch of scattered terrain. You also get a Snekja longship as well. So longships are always very cool, always great in sort of like raiding scenarios on the tabletop. You get one of those. And there's also a warband of Viking warriors that you can use to play the game with as well. Mm. On top of that, Additional miniatures they've unlocked as part of the Kickstarter include Fire Jotnar, or Giants, if you want to throw them into the mix. There's also a modular longhouse and some forest troll as well. So there's some historically stuff, there's some fantasy stuff, and there's loads of other stuff mixed together. So a really nice little package of stuff there that you could throw together if you want to get some 3D printing done over this isolation period and build up something to then take back to your friends after it's all done to play some saga with. So yeah.
Very cool.
Let's go see the troll.
The troll is one of my favorites. Yeah.
Look at that. That's awesome.
Yeah,
it is so cool.
I'd like to point out that everything in there is very Viking-y. It's very Viking-y. It's very Viking-y. And then there's a big chunk of the Giant's Causeway.
I didn't see the Giant's Causeway.
That's not theirs, you know. That's ours.
I mean, hang on. That's them when they're on vacation.
Vikings, I don't believe the Vikings ever made it this far up north. They had more sense. They got as far as Dublin and maybe a little bit up as far as Drogheda. And then they thought, the further north we go, the shittier the weather's getting. Let's just stick down around here. And besides, Arthur Guinness was down there, Justin. So why would they need to go anywhere else? So
they did steal an awful lot of women from the west coast for Iceland.
That's it. Mm. And they did sail up the River Bann, because just around the corner from me, there's like an old fort.
Right,
look out over the Bann to see when they were coming.
The Vikings did make it this far?
Pretty sure.
They're coming from the north of us.
If there was a river and they could get Viking down it, in like Flynn, so to speak. That's very nice.
That's where you've got the
buildings as well.
Right, round tower in Antrim where Jerry is right now to hide all their loot.
Yeah, was a monastery where the door into it was on like a first floor.
That's it.
Guys, can I thank all of you again for a wonderful opportunity to spend some hobby time together. Awesome Friday night. Loving it. And a massive thank you to all of you guys in the community who continue to support us. Look. I'm in two minds whether to ask for support these days or not. Because in a situation like this, practically everyone is feeling it. So to ask for support, I have a tinge of why would we deserve it more than anyone else? And I genuinely don't have an answer to that. Because that's not for me to decide. It really is for any of you guys to decide. So if you have the means to support someone, great, because there's a lot of folk out there that need help and support right now. And if that is us that you choose to try and help, all I can do is thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and to thank you on behalf of the entire community that has built up around this over the years. And if not, I can completely understand that as well. Look, stay safe. And we will be back next week. And if you fancy a little bit more crack and to spend some more time with us, come across on Tabletop on Sunday. And on Sunday morning, we'll be there for the XLBS, where I will finally be getting to kick off my Spring Clean Challenge. Guys, thanks. Thanks for watching. We'll see you soon.
Go ahead and check out our other content on screen now. And while you're at it, why not hit subscribe and remember to ding our dong. Go on, you know you want to click it. Go on.